À la volonté du peuple et à la santé du progrès. Ah, hello and welcome to another episode of The Hat Historian. In this video, I will be talking about a hat that has in some circles become a symbol of liberty and revolution against tyranny. The Phrygian cap. The Phrygian cap is a small brimless hat shaped like a cone whose tip is shaped to bend over and is usually made of wool or felt. While it is now often depicted being red, it originally could be any color and was often made of undyed material, making it off-white or brown. Several variants exist, from the simple one I am wearing now to ones with ear flaps to keep the ears warm or a neck flap to protect it from the sun. Originating in the Middle East, it gets its name from Phrygia, an ancient region of Anatolia in what is now modern-day Turkey. So how did this hat come to symbolize liberty in so many places? Like most ancient headwear, the exact origins of the Phrygian cap are not precisely known, though it appears to have originated in western Persia and was worn by several Iranian peoples, including Scythians, Medes, Persians, and of course, the Phrygians. Examples of this kind of hat were recorded as far back as the 5th century BC, and at that time, its shape was not precisely defined in the way it is now, just being a simple peasant cap. It got associated with the Phrygians through the Greeks, who simply named it after the nearest tribe to them that wore it. In the Hellenistic world, the cap was originally used to symbolize people from the East, non-Greek barbarians, or sometimes even Trojans, who in ancient representations were often depicted wearing one to show them as separate from the Greeks, or the Thracians or Macedonians. These latter groups started also making bronze combat helmets that were tall and slanted to the front, reminiscent of the hats, and likely inspired by them, though the name Phrygian helmet that is associated with them now was given to them later in reference to their resemblance with the cap. This association with the East continued in the Roman period, where it was also often used to represent Dacians who lived in modern-day Romania. This also continued the idea of using the cap to depict barbarians, in the sense of people outside Greco-Roman culture, and can be seen in several carved depictions of Eastern conquest worn by the defeated peoples. At this time, it also became associated with Mithraism, a cult inspired by Persian practices, which became popular in the Roman Empire in the 1st century AD. Drawing from Eastern imagery, the god Mithras was usually depicted wearing a Phrygian cap and surrounded by a halo. Another religion which came to rival and supplant Mithraism in the same era was early Christianity, which borrowed several imagery aspects from the former. While the Phrygian cap was not retained for its deity, the famous magi, or wise men, that came to visit the infant Jesus on Epiphany were at first often depicted wearing some, as they were said to have come from the East, and were considered to be Zoroastrians. So if it was used as shorthand for a person from the East during most of the ancient period, how did it come in modern day to be a symbol of liberty in the West? Well, this is because of a much later mix-up in traditions. In Roman times, slaves who were given their freedom were presented with a pileus, a soft conical hat I've mentioned before, which was forbidden for them to wear when enslaved, and so took on the symbol of a liberty hat, becoming an attribute of Libertas, goddess of liberty. There was an expression in Rome that described manumission as servos ad pileum vocare, or calling servants to the pileus. As part of the traditional ceremony, a slave would have their hair shaved and then be presented a pileus to wear, symbolizing his new status as a freed man. The tradition was politicized in Rome after the assassination of Julius Caesar, when some of the conspirators carried liberty caps atop a spear to symbolize the return of liberty to the Republic after Caesar's tyranny. It was featured on coins depicting the event, and in the later empire it was sometimes used by crowds celebrating the death of an unloved emperor. The association of the Phrygian cap with the liberty cap comes from a confusion during a revival of its use in the 18th century, with movements born of the Enlightenment promoting greater freedom for common citizens. Already, in 1675, a revolt against taxes in Brittany was named Révolte des Bonnets Rouges, a revolt of the red caps, after the hats worn by members of the movement, helping make red the standard color for these hats. The use of the hat as a symbol was spread partly through the use of a liberty pole, a long staff with a red cap at its summit that was supposed to evoke the pileus atop a spear carried by Caesar's assassins. The symbol started in Italy, and then spread to the Netherlands, France, and then England through William III. While originally any contemporary hat was depicted atop the staff, with a renewed interest in ancient symbolism that came with the Enlightenment, they hearkened back to Rome and its hats. However, it is at this time that the liberty cap became confused with the Phrygian cap, which was often depicted on ancient monuments. Instead of the pileus, whose cone was straight, The bent Phrygian cap became associated with Libertas, and the distinctive shape probably helped its popularization. The Liberty Pole, topped with a Phrygian cap, became a known symbol of protest against government in Britain, and from there it spread to its colonies in North America. In the years leading up to the American Revolution, several were erected in various town squares in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, and others by groups such as the Sons of Liberty, who used them sometimes as a rallying point. Often taken down by royalist forces, they usually were promptly replaced. Beyond freedom, the hat took on stronger connotations of republicanism during the American struggle for independence, and after the war, the national allegory of Columbia, a sort of American version of Libertas, was often depicted wearing one, and it found a place on many state and institutional seals, as a sign of the newfound freedoms that the United States sought to promote. While the Phrygian cap gained great new prominence during the American Revolution, another uprising would see it truly established as a symbol of liberty and republicanism, the French Revolution. Whether they were influenced by American symbolism or arrived at it independently is not fully known, though given the links between France and the US, it is hard to believe that some influence did not happen. But the French revolutionaries who rose up in 1789 quickly sought to establish symbolism for their new government, and the Phrygian cap became one of the most recognizable of these. Red ones, in remembrance of the Bonnet Rouge revolt that I mentioned earlier, were first documented to be used in 1790 in Troyes and Lyon, and then quickly adopted by the sans-culottes, as the revolution referred to themselves, as an attribute. Before he was deposed, King Louis XVI was even made to wear one. With the suppression of coats of arms and royalist symbols, the Phrygian cap, usually with a tricolor cockade affixed to it, became a new symbol of Republican France after the abolition of the monarchy in 1792, and appeared on official documents, state carriages, worn by army officials, and many others. People accused of being too moderate would openly wear them in the hope of placating the revolutionaries and thus avoid the guillotine. It was also put, in 1792, on the new seal of the Republic, which depicted a woman wearing a Phrygian cap, who had become known as Marianne. It remained popular in France throughout the late 18th century, up until Napoleon declared himself emperor, at which point he suppressed Republican symbols. While after his fall, and through the restoration of the monarchy, people tried to revive it, they had little success at first. Its prominent place in these two major revolutions cemented the Phrygian cap as a modern symbol of liberty, and it was thus adopted by several other countries seeking emancipation from their rulers. This is particularly true in Latin America during their struggles for independence from Spain. Many of these new countries drew on imagery from the French and American revolutions, and the Phrygian cap was featured on coats of arms, flags, and coinage from Mexico to Argentina. Like Colombia and Marianne, the personification of Brazil at that time was depicted as a woman wearing a Phrygian cap, another variation on the ancient Libertas. Haiti also featured it on its coat of arms to symbolize their status as slaves who gained their freedom. The Phrygian cap continued to feature in many allegories and symbols during the 19th century, mostly in the Americas, as Europe's monarchies were wary of its implications. However, when designing a statue of freedom for the summit of the new U.S. Capitol building dome, sculptor Thomas Crawford was prevented from including a Phrygian cap on the statue by then Secretary of War Jefferson Davis, who was opposed to its connotations of freedom from enslavement. As he went on to become president of the Confederate States, the reasons for that should be evident. For those who might not know, the main reason the Confederate States seceded was in order to retain slavery. The cap regained popularity in France after the War and Revolution of 1870, which saw the establishment of the Third Republic and the definitive abolition of monarchy in the country. This new government was eager to underline its republican ideals, and thus harkened back to old revolutionary symbols. Particularly, it made heavy use of the allegory of Marianne, the woman wearing a Phrygian cap, who is the allegory of the French Republic. The Phrygian cap is still a widely used and potent symbol today. While it has not been worn in any daily capacity outside of political statements since antiquity, and has not been worn much in any capacity since the French Revolution, it still appears in many seals, symbols, allegories, and even logos to this day. It is, often atop a Liberty Pole, featured on the national coats of arms of Latin American countries such as Argentina, Bolivia, Colombia, Nicaragua, Cuba, El Salvador, and Paraguay, on whose flag it also appears. It is also on the coats of arms of several state and institution seals in the United States, for example, West Virginia, Idaho, Iowa, North Carolina, New Jersey, or New York, often in these held by a woman representing liberty, or on the seals of the U.S. Department of Defense or the U.S. Senate. Most notably, it is still widely seen in France, worn by Marianne, a bust of whom appears in every French city and town hall, as well as in most institutions. She also appears, wearing one, on French stamps, coins, and the official logo of the French Republic. It is also sometimes worn during protests by women emulating her look. The Phrygian cap was also used in the logos of certain political parties in the past. The concept of the red cap was also revived in the 2013 Bonnet Rouge movement in Brittany, evoking the 17th century one of the same name, though in this case, the hats in question were usually more regular red knit caps. Finally, it appears in some popular culture. The famous Belgian characters the Smurfs wear a hat evoking the Phrygian cap, white for most, except Papa Smurf, who wears a red one, and the mascots for the 2024 Paris Olympics, the Frige, are anthropomorphized Phrygian caps, meant to represent the Republic and the ideals of freedom and human rights it embodies. Over the course of three millennia, from a Middle Eastern working hat to a representation of exoticism to finally a symbol of freedom, the Phrygian cap has a long, unlikely, confused, yet powerful journey. Now only appearing in a symbolic manner rather than worn as a regular hat, it still continues to appear and move people through its meaning, connotations, and striking appearance. So I hope once again you found this video interesting and will join me again soon for another hat. Until then, I tip my hat to you.